Book of Ephesians. We'll begin there in chapter 2. Our text is going to be in chapter 4 today, verses 17 through 24. Put off the old man and put on the new for unity. That's why we're to do it. There's some songs written, bluegrass songs written. I love them. I can't get them out of my head. And it's horrible wording. It's as if someone got these verses and read them, and they said, this is what to do. This is what to do. It's not what's already been done. It's what to do. You have to have an understanding of what's happened before we get to this point. That's why Paul wrote the first three chapters, to lay that foundation of Christ in us. My children, if they're acting up and they're in service and whispering back and forth and passing notes and making a ruckus, I would correct that. Straighten up. Remember who you are and whose you are, who you represent sitting here. I would correct that. But there has to be an understanding that they're my children. Whether they do that or not, corrections need or not, they're still my children. If I was to walk up to a random child and say, knock it off, that child wouldn't know what to do, would it? It'd probably be a mad parent at me too. There has to be an understanding of what happened. So Paul tells us there in chapter 1 of the will and purpose of God. God the Father purposed to save a people, to put them in Christ, to make them just exactly like He is. Holy. Holy. Without blame. Unreprovable before Him in love. That's why He did it. His great love wherewith He loved us. Christ came and He purchased those people. His blood paid the atonement. God the Holy Spirit abounds toward His people and seals them in that promise, in that covenant of grace. And convicts our heart, gives us life in that new man, that new birth, and teaches what we were, what Christ has accomplished, His righteousness, and that He's accomplished all. And then we're reminded again there in chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath He quickened, you that He's given life to, who were dead in trespasses and sins. We walked according to this world. We were come from our mother's womb, just like everybody else. We were kids in kindergarten, running around causing trouble just like everybody else. Teenagers, young adults, before the Lord came to us, did a work in our hearts. We're just like everybody else. Just like any other child of Adam. There was no difference. There was no difference. We walked according to the course of this world. Now whether that looked kind of good or that looked kind of bad, we're going to get through this, our text today. And right about the times our noses are so high in the air, if it rained, we'd drown. There's just a quick word. And isn't that all it takes from a loving father? I can look at my children and make them cry. I can say one word, snap of a finger. Through God the Holy Spirit, using Paul, we're given these words. But it says there, we were just like everybody else in chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who maketh thee to differ? But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. Made one with Christ. Unified with Christ. Paul goes on in chapter 3 to pray for those brethren at Ephesus and pray for us. We be strengthened in Him. That we grow in Christ, grow in understanding, grow in knowledge. And then he comes to chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. What's that? The knowledge of Christ. Salvation that's of our Lord. An understanding of who He is. Walk worthy according to that. That's so, people, and I flinch too, at the responsibility of the believer. Our response to His ability. We have to know His ability first, don't we? Those children are mine. Ain't nothing can change that. My blood flows through them. But I tell them, you better act like you're my children. better walk worthy of your last name. And so Paul reminds us, after this knowledge is given, this knowledge is laid of what Christ has done for us, the debt of gratitude we have for Him. He is our motivation, His love towards us. The debt of gratitude we have for this glorious salvation. It's unremarkable. I can't remark on it. I can't say enough about it. We can't describe it. With an understanding of that, walk worthy of your vocation. We need to do this for unity. He says in chapter 4, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We're in this one body. This whole family of believers is a body. And the walk that we're given, this new man that we're to put on in this world that we walk in, it's for the benefit of the whole body. I broke my pinky toe one time. And you know, my left shoe still wears different than my right shoe on the bottom. It wears funny. You don't think a pinky toe is that important until you hurt it. And then your whole body's off. How does that thing get nourishment? How did it heal? It had to go through the mouth. The hand had to feed the mouth. The eye had to see the food. The stomach had to process. Kidneys had to work. Every bit of it. Fitly framed together. Compacted, as he says. For the benefit of the whole. For the benefit of all of us. So that's our motivation. That's why we are to put off this old man and put on the new. We're to be used of Christ to edify our brethren in love. What a privilege. Isn't that right? What a privilege. Spurgeon said that. He said, on this earth we can comfort a crying brother or sister. We can mourn with them. We can weep with them. When this life is over, that'll never happen again. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more pain. No more sorrow. What a great privilege it is to be unified with brethren. Not to be separated from them. Not to be cast off by yourself. They ain't getting no nutrients. They ain't getting no blood flow. There's no warming love there. But to be unified. To be knit together. And what a great responsibility. People say, well, God is love. And they just walk around bouncing and happy, right? There's a responsibility that comes with love. I love my family. I have a responsibility of love to my family. We love Christ. We see Him, what He's done for us. We love our brethren. We believe Christ, love the brethren. We have a responsibility to love our brethren. And that's a privilege, but it's a responsibility. So we get here to our text, verse 17. Here's where Paul begins us, how we are to edify one another. Gives us some steps here. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Don't conform to this ungodly world that's all around us. Don't walk according to that. How do those other Gentiles walk? How is it that they walk? Well, they walk the same way we once walked. It's no different. The way this flesh wants to walk. It says there in verse 17, in the vanity of their mind. What's the vanity of the natural mind? What's our vain thoughts? Every one of us is turned away from God, and we seek security in the things that's all around us. Ooh, if I can just get my house paid off. That's a vain thought of mine. If I could just get that job, if I could just do this, if I could just do that, I have some security. That's just in this world. If I could just memorize the books of the Bible, if I could know where they all were, if I could memorize the Ten Commandments, get some scriptures in my head, I'll be all right. Anything I can grab a hold of, that's vanity of my mind, thinking I'm capable of doing anything that the Lord didn't empower me to do. It's vain. He told Jeremiah, said, for my people have committed two evils. Two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. They've turned away from God into vainness, vanity. And they've hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can't hold no water. This is a really good illustration for us. You drive up and down these roads and there's cisterns all around. They don't catch rainwater, but we got big water tanks by every house, isn't it? That's what our natural man does, and it's vanity. We turn from God who provides all things for us, and we say, you know what? We'll catch our own water. We'll keep our own water. And the Lord says, your cisterns are broken. They ain't going to hold no water. Cracked all to pieces. It's vanity. Let's turn over to Psalm 39. Here's what the psalmist prayed, and I hope we can pray it too. Psalm 39, beginning verse 4. Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and mine age is nothing before thee. I finally got some years under my belt. I know a little something. Growing up, it's a handbreadth. That's from pinky to thumb. And in the space of eternity and time, that's how long my life is. Lord, make me to know that. Anything my hand touches has no worth in it. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Selah. Pause on that. Think about it. At our very best, vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely they are disquieted. That means they're just in a commotion. They're just fervently working all around them. Oh, got to do something. Working hard. Hamster on a wheel. Just spinning, ain't it? And we're doing that in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. Try to find something good. Pile it up. And we don't even know what it's for. God says this is how we walked in times past. Every one of us. But he says, henceforth, walk not as other unbelievers walk in the vanity of their minds. This is what every one of us did. It's what I did. It's what you did if you know him. And that's what you're doing if you don't know him. I don't think you are. And the Lord says, henceforth, knowing Christ, knowing what he's done for us, don't do that anymore. Don't spin your wheels no more. So that's how we once walked. Now, why do we walk that way? Why do unbelievers, those outside of Christ, why do they still walk this way? Back in our text, Ephesians 4, verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. The natural man's pretty smart in natural things. We have so many advances in this society and ultrasounds and nanotechnology and medical, and always my mind always goes there. Look at all the medical advances we have. Look at cars we have. We understand some things. We know how to surf. Know how to work around here. But when it comes to God and understanding Him and how God saves, understanding's darkened. Understanding what righteousness is, what true holiness is, what sanctification is, what being set apart is. It's a work of God. To understand that, the natural man's mind's been darkened. Told Isaiah, he feedeth on ashes and deceiveth, and his deceived heart hath turned him aside that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? We're feeding on ashes. You go to old campfire looking for food. You think there's meat there, and you're just eating burnt wood. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? That's what the Lord says we're doing. Our understanding's been darkened. So we see how it always goes to the mind, to the understanding, to the inside. It's not the outward walk. It's what's on the inside. That's where the outward walk begins. It's in that vain mind and that darkened understanding. That's where our outside comes from. God puts a new man in us, a new heart, a new mind. And then things start changing on the outside. You can see that. I saw pictures. I never noticed this before. My sister brought to my attention that the year before my dad passed away, you can tell in his look in the pictures how he changed. We didn't know it, but he started looking a little weaker. But someone that's healthy, if he was to have a kidney transplant or heart transplant or something like that, the outside changes because the inside changes, doesn't it? If the inside's going down and dying and decaying, the outside's going to change. The inside's renewed. If it's made healthy again, the outside's going to show it, isn't it? That's our walk. God is the one who made us to differ. He's sitting us exercising our spiritual minds and some doing of ours. He made us to differ. God has shined into our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. How is my inner man going to be strengthened? God has to shine His light, the knowledge of Christ and understanding of Him into me, into my new man. Then we'll be renewed. Look over in Ephesians 5 on page verse 7. With this knowledge, Ephesians 5:7. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You are my children, is what he's saying. Act like it. You know these things. You've been taught these things. The Lord's revealed this in your heart. His work of salvation has took place in you. Walk in the light. Don't be unequally yoked. Don't sit down and say, oh, this is my Arminian brethren. These are my Catholic brethren. You know different. You've had light shed in your heart to know who Christ is. Walk in the light. Now there in Ephesians 4. What's the result of walking that way that the old man did? That this flesh does. It says in verse 18, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Being alienated means to be separated, to be estranged from. That darkness that's in our vain thoughts, it's in this natural man, it separates us from God. Paul said in Romans 8, but ye are not in the flesh. That's scary, isn't it? I don't want to be separated from the Lord. I don't want to be alienated from Him. It gives me cause to worry. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Christ dwells in His people. Do you have an understanding of Him? This is how God saves people. Christ is righteousness. He is holiness. God is love. He loved His people and made them just like His Son. Do you understand that? If you have an understanding of that, and that's your hope, Christ dwells in you. He puts that new man, that incorruptible seed in you to have that understanding, to believe, have that belief, to have that peace. You who are born of God, you now have spiritual life. You're given His grace. You're given His faith, and you're given His holiness by God dwelling in you. But those unregenerate people, the unconverted, the sinners that walk in this world just as we were no different. They're alienated from the life of God. They're separated from that fountain of life. They've turned from Him and they've made their own cisterns. Without Christ, without hope, and without God in the world, it's all they have. They have no guide to direct them. They have no comfort. And that joy of faith that He gives, and that joy of holiness that He gives, are striving for something, fervently running around, hamsters on a wheel, trying to do something, trying to please God. They don't want such a life, and they don't approve of you who trust in Him alone. They don't approve of that life. It says, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. Now, we fail in Adam, yes. That's where there's sin in the garden. That's where it was imputed to us. But we willingly, in this old flesh, we willingly turn from the Lord. We willingly run from that life. We want to remain that way. And people always talk about man's will. Oh, you got a free will. You got a free will to sin. It's bound to its nature, isn't it? We have a sin nature. Peter said, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, for their own sense of pride, to satisfy themselves, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Ain't nothing changed. Is Christ coming? They're scoffing, aren't they? Scoffing at the gospel. Scoffing at His return. For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. They're ignorant of the Lord. Willingly. Willingly ignorant. Willingly turned from it. People say, well, that's not my truth. It's popular nowadays, isn't it? Scoffers after their own lusts. That's your truth. I have my truth. Christ said, and ye will not come to me that you might be saved. You cling to your truth instead of Christ the truth, don't you? He said, this is condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You can say that in joy. Did you know that? I was thinking about that earlier. I could get up here and preach through Hosea 4 on. That's some rough stuff there. That's some hard chapters condemning sin. But that's joy. That's who I am. To call somebody a sinner and say, that's all we are by birth. There's nothing else you can do. That's your nature. Unless Christ does a work in you. For those that Christ has done a work in, that's not bad news, is it? That's life eternal. That's the gospel. That's the good news. He saved the people. I want to be speaking the truth in love. I want to tell you that joyfully and in love. But there's some that'll hear this message. Some may be sitting here today and they've got their mind made up. They'll say, I will not have this. I won't listen to it. It's just some other guy talking. He's saying the same words everybody else has said. It don't do me no good. They've got their mind made up. They won't look up the scriptures. They won't listen to the messages again when they get home. They won't study the word of God. You know what that is? That's being alienated from God. You're alienating yourselves willingly from the Lord. I don't have anything to do with it. Just plug your ears up. I don't want to hear it. Solomon said in Proverbs 17, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? A man that wants wisdom, they have to spend and be spent to get it. They have to spend and be spent to get it. Now, how does that apply to us? Do we see that in our regular life? If you want to get in shape, you've got to spend some time in the gym. You've got to spend some time in the kitchen knowing what to eat. If you want to get an education, you've got to spend some time in a book. You've got to spend some money. It's going to take some effort. And if you want to get a trade, you're going to have to learn the trade. There'll be some effort put forth. What does the Lord say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek the kingdom of God. We've been given a knowledge and understanding of Him. You'll have a desire to seek Him, to look for Him. Search these things out. Search the Scriptures. Look us up, what I tell you. Don't just take my word for it. Search the Scriptures. Make sure what I'm saying is the truth. Look for it. But there's no difference between those that don't and us, is there? I was exactly the same way. Spent my whole life doing the same thing. To seeing what God's done freely for us. When He's revealed that in our hearts, revealed Christ in our hearts, God says, henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Now here's what I pray is not the case with anyone here. What's the other result of this? Walking in our vanities, walking in our darkness. So there's Ephesians 4:19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. A sinner who is past feeling, they've reached the point of no return. I just don't have any feeling for it. I'm numb. Don't care. Past feeling, you've reached the point of no return. They've had their conscience seared with a hot iron. It's hardened. It's scarred over. The longer a sinner goes on in rebellion against God, the less they have a feeling towards it. Do you remember when he was a little child? I remember being 4 or 5 years old, and I lied to my mom and dad, and I wept. I cried. I was still a sinner. I come forth from that womb speaking lies. There's no difference. I was deserving of eternal damnation. But I had a more tender heart, didn't I? And as I got older, I was in college, I lied to my mom. And you know what? It didn't hurt nowhere near as bad as it did when I was a little kid. Why? That feeling was going away, wasn't it? I was almost past feeling, getting calloused, being alienated from that. The heart becomes more hardened the more sin and heartache we experience. The more we feed that old man, the harder it gets, the stronger it gets. That's what Paul was speaking of there in Romans 1. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. It goes on, verse 28, chapter 1 says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, I don't even want to hear about Him, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do the things which were not convenient. That was man's free will. I don't have nothing to do with God. Don't want to hear of Him. And the Lord said, go ahead. Go on to your reprobation. When this happens, he says there in verse 19, who have given themselves over, have given themselves over fully to what? Unto lasciviousness. That's a license to sin, sensuality. Anything that feels good, do it. If that's what you like doing, go ahead and do it. That's lasciviousness. We got that on sneakers, don't we? Just do it. You want to eat that? Eat it. You want to do this? Do it. Go ahead. Gives them over fully to work all uncleanness. That's homosexuality, fornication, adultery, abortion, all kinds of lusts imaginable. That's what the natural heart wants, desires those things. And this doesn't happen to a person overnight. It doesn't happen to a family overnight. It doesn't happen to a whole nation overnight. It happens gradually, doesn't it? As it goes on, as these things become law in our country, what do we say? Oh, we finally won. We got away from God. We call that liberty, don't we? Oh, now we got freedom. Now we love, don't we? That's how wicked our mind is. We become desensitized to all the sin until the point you get where you don't feel. You're just numb to everything. Now before, there was some sense of sin, some sense of guilt. But now they've lost all that. Now they commit sin with pleasure and they boast of it. They openly declare it to everyone on the street. And they give themselves over with greediness, it says. They desire more. That's a thing in our day. Instagram stars. The fake rich. People go out and they rent cars to take pictures so other people think better of them. Lady got her hair done, some surgery done, and had hired photographers and didn't get famous, and she sued the people that did the work to her. That's, we can laugh at that and scoff at that now. Okay, what's my children? That's, man, that's normal. Past feeling. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray for our young people as they come up in this world. But it says in verse 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ." I told you we're going to get our nose so high up in the air we're going to drown if it rains, right? All that's horrible people they're talking about, isn't it? Those people just out living in sin and living underneath bridges and filth and, oh, it's just horrible. These people, it's in churches. They've heard of someone named Christ. You walk up down these streets, have you ever heard of God? Of course I've heard of God. You ever heard of Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, no, I've heard of Him. He's over there as a virgin and 33 years or something. They'll have something to say. They've learned something. This isn't just the wicked people walking up down the street. This is people in religion too. Just as we were. Just as I was. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has taught us who believe to walk differently. It says there, you have not so learned Christ. It doesn't say you've not so learned about Christ. It doesn't say about Him. It says you've learned Him. His person. Who He is. What He came to accomplish. What He did accomplish. It's not merely learning the doctrine of Christ. It's not merely learning about those precepts. And it's about learning Him. Learning that person. You know, if you learn a person, you learn a family member, a husband or a wife, and you see a letter written by them, you could get a good idea if they wrote it or not. It might look like their handwriting, but you say, I know them. That's not them. How could you know that? Are you the expert? I am, because I've learned them. I know them. Do we understand every word in this Scripture? Of course we don't. But we understand Him. We've been given a knowledge of Christ. Now we have some discernment. That's where our discernment comes from, is a knowledge of Christ. We learn Him, who He is. And it says we have heard of Christ. We discern His voice. We can be a crowd of people and everybody saying, hey, and I could say, hey, real loud, and them four there would hear me. Mm-hmm. They know my voice, don't we? Not that we audibly hear the voice of the Lord, but we hear His words, don't we? I hear whenever I get low, I get afraid, scared, and I tremble. And He says, fear not. As He spoke that to our hearts, not just to our eyes that we read it, or to our ears that someone said it to us, but as He spoke in our hearts, fear not, I'm with thee. Have we heard of Him? And if we're taught by Him, as Christ breathed into my heart so that I feel something, how shameful it really is to sin. Is that carrying around in this body of death with me, the dying of Christ? He had to pay for my sins with His body. Do I just go and sin however I want to? I go do what I want? No, you're brought into remembrance of Him. Our pure minds are stirred up. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, said what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and that you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. What was that price? If I'm the Lord's, if I'm an heir of God, a joint heir with Christ, what was the price that bought me, that adopted me into His family? The blood of my Savior. I don't own me. I'm not a self-made man. I'm owned by Him. And all this is, we hear of Him, we learn of Him. The truth is in Christ. If you want to know the true God, people say, I want to know God. You need to learn Christ. I want to know about salvation. You need to learn Christ. I want to know all gospel truth. I want to understand revelations. I want to know things that's going to happen. You need to learn Christ. Learn Him. I want to know the true path in this life. I want to know how to walk in this world. Look to Him. Learn of Him. What has Christ taught us? He taught us to walk henceforth as other, not to walk henceforth as other Gentiles walk, but to put on Christ and walk as Christ walked. He says there in verse 22, Ephesians 4:22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust. The change is not changing the old man. Do you know that? Don't clean up the old man. Don't polish the old man. Don't strengthen the old man. Put it off. Get rid of it. This old flesh is corrupt according to deceitful lust. That's all we have. And it'll always be so. But every day, put it off. They said, you got two dogs, a good one and a bad one. Which one's going to win? The one you feed. Which one's going to grow stronger? The one you feed. Put it off. Don't feed it. Don't feed into it. Don't make no provision to support it. Just suppress it. Pray that the Lord suppresses it in you. And Christ has taught us there in verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You know, all of our problems begin in my mind. That's the most dangerous journey you can ever take, so a wandering mind. You don't know where you're going to end up. It's going to be bad. Our walk is determined greatly by what we fill our mind with. So fill it with the Spirit of God. Fill it with good things. Fill it with edifying things, shouldn't we? There in Philippians 4 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. You know what putting that old man off is? Is this governor going to get recalled? Who rigged the election? I was going to title a message. I said, well, we get a lot of clicks on YouTube, won't we? I know who did. It rigged. It was God's sovereign will what happened. What's going to happen with the schools? Put off the old man. Do we know that the Lord controls everything underneath this sun and beyond the sun and the sun itself? Of course He does. Think on pure things. Think on holy things. He says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Remember that first love. Remember who saved you. Look to Him. Dwell on Him. And Christ has also taught us here, verse 24, that you put on the new man, which is after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. There's no righteousness in that old man. There's no righteousness in this world. There's no holiness in it. Where's it at? In the new man that He gives. The new man that's made like Him. The Lord our righteousness. That's the name He is called, and that's the name she shall be called. Be your last name. Declaring forevermore, Christ is my righteousness. Put on that new man. Put that man on. Let me end with this. You've heard many faithful preachers say that man is not justified before God by our works. That's the truth. Nothing we do justifies us before the Lord. Only Christ's blood does. Only His purchase does. It's God that justifies. It's Christ that died, and He's risen again, and He makes intercession for us. But our character and our conduct are important. How a believer walks in this world is important. So put off that old man. Put on the new. Put on Christ. And remember that in context. What context is Paul talking about? That's for unity of the body, isn't it? He's given us this instruction, this admonition, for unity of the brethren, to fitly frame us together. I need that, and you all are faithful. I'm thankful for you. We have to cover, this is a text we're in, I ain't picking on nobody. There's times I get down, times I get worried, and there's not a one of you all that haven't come to me and said, well, this is the Lord's will, isn't it? He's loved us, isn't that something to think about? That's edifying to me. And I pray I'm that way to you. When there's an old man we can't get rid of because we live in it, it wears on me. And the things of this world wear on me, on you, I hope I can come to you and say, remember Christ who saved us? We've heard of Him. We've learned of Him. Put Him on. Put on that new man. That'd be a comfort. If you know Him, that's a comfort. But how many times am I going to be told to do that? I'm like a child. Must be like a child in the kingdom of God. We must be told constantly, over and over in this life, look to Him. Trust Him. Believe on Him. And walk as children that are in light. Look into His light. Amen. Let's pray together.